One of the most talked about drag queens from season 2 of Dragula is Disasterina. Half ballerina, half disaster, 100% rock and roll queen from a magical dimension. Disasterina won our hearts with her goofy sensibilities and her love for transforming trash into treasure.
Although her quest to become the world's next drag super monster didn't end as she'd like, her elimination, which paid homage to the classic film Psycho, but with Madonna-inspired cone breasts, was the perfect send-off for LA's most disastrous queen.
Today, Disasterina joins us to talk about her group marriage with multimedia artist Triops Trifid and Ave Rose from the reality TV show Steampunked, how cosplay inspires drag, and how much glooba schlobber is too much glooba schlobber.
Plus, which Boulet brother are you most like? Take our quiz and find out.
Why it's so important to discover who you really are by pretending to be somebody else.
That one weird trick to get you through any reality TV shooting schedule.
And why Charlie Brown, if he ever grew up, would end up being a slave to a dominatrix. I'm Fausto Fernos.
I'm Mark Fillion.
And this is Feast of Fun. Feast of Fun happens because of fierce, fabulous people like you. We know you love listening to Feast of Fun every day because it opens up a whole new world of art, drag, and fabulous sensibilities. Visit feastoffun.com/donate and make sure we're still around for the new year, or become a member and access all our podcasts at feastoffun.com/plus. Before we begin, let's listen to a little bit of Disasterina from Dragula Season 2 talking about her space alien look and why she needs a little special something to get fuel for her spaceship.
Attention, human males. This is Disasterina. I come from the planet Rectus 9. Don't worry, I'm an alien, but it's not an invasion. I'm here to extract your ejaculate. We're going to need about 60 million tons. So, I know it's quite a lot. I'm going to be pulling a double tonight.
And so my boss sent me down here to Earth to extract the ejaculate from human males because it turns out it makes the perfect fuel for our warp drive engines. And this way, once we get it, we can go anywhere in the universe.
Hello, dear. How are you doing?
Hi, is this Disasterina?
It's so wonderful to talk to you both.
Disasterina, this is you from the future.
Oh, no.
I have a very important announcement to make with you. You must listen. Okay. You must listen to me.
Future me? Okay, you know I don't listen very good. But try.
We
try
are it. Fucked. Fucked. Oh, hold on. The call got disconnected.
Uh-oh.
Shit. I think she was wanting you to invest in Bitcoin or something like that, but I don't know.
No, it's way too late for that.
It might not be too late. That's why I heard it's like it's still in the middle of the incline, but we're having a sort of a tulip craze with cryptocurrency in the United States right now.
Actually, I met somebody. It was at one of the viewing parties. And this person had bought some sort of Bitcoin like 10 years ago or something. And he is retired. And he's 26 years old.
Holy shit!
Wow.
I know. He had, I don't know how much he bought, but he's like a multimillionaire now.
If you had put every penny you have spent on art and drag into Bitcoin at the beginning of your career, you'd be rich.
Yes. Why? Why did I have to go do that whole, you know, dot-com crash thing in the 90s when I could have just put it all into Bitcoin?
You know, I have to say, we have fallen in love with you on Dragula. You're absolutely exquisite. And, you know, you really are a drag queen that really comes after our heart because you are a lifelong artist. You're passionate about kookiness and you recycle trash into treasure.
Well, that has been my aesthetic for a long time. I just love to use recycled materials, upcycle stuff. And my fashion style, I have one idea in my head, which is to get away from the idea that fabric is the thing that makes clothes. It's anything you can find that you can sew or fabricate together can make into clothes. So that's really what I look to.
Was that like an epiphany for you? One day you just woke up and you'd be like, no more fabric.
Yes, you know, before I do drag, I was doing mixed media sculpture. And I was doing some performance art. And I was making these objects and these costumes. And, you know, none of them had fabric in it. It was all found materials. It's all recycled materials. And I use that style for my drag now.
I can imagine that it's very cost effective to do that. But, you know, the lotion and the visit to the doctor might get in the way, you know.
Well, you know, you wear a body stocking underneath you, Dumbo.
Oh, and you have to wash the garbage before you put it on your body.
Oh, that. I didn't know about that. But it's worked out so far. I still have my skin.
Now, we get the number one request is, where the hell is Disasterina from? And you're from a very far off, exotic country called Schaumburg?
No. I am from an undetermined foreign place. You see, what happened was I can't tell anybody where I'm from. I was in Europe. I was on vacation. I took a cheapo flight to Luxembourg. And the local drink there is called the Glubschlabber, which is kind of like a medicinal drink. You know, it's kind of like what the old ladies. Yeah, Glubschlabber. The old ladies drink it for rheumatism medicine, right? And I had 27 Glubschlabbers, having a great time. Don't remember anything, but apparently what happened is I got into the zoo. And after hours, and I let all the animals out, the lions and the tigers and the elephants, they were running around the streets. And I thought, good, you know, they weren't happy in there. They should go out and live and have a real life. I didn't think anything of it because, you know, Luxembourg's so small. How could they possibly have a police force? But it turns out they got some rent-a-cops from San Marino or from the Seychelles Islands or something. And all these Interpol was in my face. And I had to hightail it out of there. And then that's when I had to change everything because the Interpol's after me. I had to hide my identity. I can't tell anybody where I'm from. So my accent is changed. And my clothing is changed to hide my identity so they don't put me in jail.
And so so you basically erased your history from Google then.
Well, that's much more difficult.
Yeah, because I heard you're very close friends with a multimedia artist, punk rocker, Triops Trifid.
Oh, yes. Well, that's my sometimes boyfriend. I joke with him and I call him Treetops Aphid. He doesn't like that very much, but that's what I call him.
And he's married to Ave Rose from the reality TV show Steampunked.
That's right. We got the reality TV family over here.
Triops Trifid and Disasterina and Ave Rose are in a group marriage, right? Is that how's this working?
Yes, it works really well when Treetops takes his Viagra.
So you can service all of you.
No, so but you guys are all like really passionate about cosplay, about sort of finding found objects and turning them into art. And we fell in love with Ave Rose from Steampunked. And when we discovered her relationship to your tribe, we were really excited to talk to you because we're big fans of Ave as well.
Oh, well, she would be really happy to hear that. Yeah, she did the heavy lifting when it come to the reality TV show. I got lucky when I got on the Boulay Brothers show because they are actually, you know, they play the shtick as Mean Girls, right? Mm-hmm. Well, they are the nicest Mean Girls you're ever going to meet. But these people over at these other networks, they are trying to manipulate you and they try to make you look bad. And that's what happened with Steampunked. Those people were stupid and incompetent and they made a bad show. But somehow, Ave came out of it looking really good, which is great, because she is really good. She is a fantastic artist and a wonderful person. I learned a lot from her about reality TV. Also, my brother-in-law is basically Sieg Neutron, who is the all-star season face-off winner. He's a good friend of mine. I see him all the time. So I have good advice before I get on Dragula about how to get through this.
What kind of advice did they give you?
Oh, well, it's just the important thing is energy. You know, you have to be yourself. Don't get in your head. Just go full speed ahead like a locomotive. Don't cripple yourself with doubt. They want certain things. It doesn't matter what they want. It matters what you want. Don't take anything personal because, you know, what they're doing is they're trying to make a TV show. They are trying to make something, and it might be against what you're trying to make, but you have to go ahead forward anyway and make what you want to make and do your best and not worry about what they want.
What is Disasterina trying to make?
Well, Disasterina is a magical being, and I try to make fun. That's it. Keep it simple, stupid.
So this holiday season, you're getting the kids together and you're celebrating, opening up presents and making cookies.
Well, recently I did a Krampus performance. That was the closest I get to celebrating any holidays. I'm not a big holiday person.
What'd you do for Krampus? Knocked.
Well, I have a number. It's called Krampus Day, which is based on the Laibach song Opus Day. And I go on stage and I'm a naughty little girl and ooh. I put bugs in people's hair and, you know, I pull the pigtails of the girls and I'm bad. And then the Krampus, they come and they get me. And it's like a gang rape on stage. Everybody love it.
Including you, I'm sure.
You know, I have to say, I'm really, really loving Dragula and the direction the show's going. I think it just might be my favorite TV show on the air right now. And part of it is just like, I feel like this reality TV show really caters to our sensibilities here at Feast of Fun.
Well, it's quite an unusual show that they have created. There's nothing else I've ever seen like it. Honestly, it's not a perfect show. It's got this and that, which I would change here and there, but it's just a nitpicky thing. What they created is a performance art reality show. How many performance art reality shows are there out there? How many alternative drag shows are out there? It's just one. Mm-hmm. It's this one. And they do such a good job at it. It's really, I'm really proud to be on it. Really, really happy. And I feel fortunate to be on it and to know all these people.
I wonder what your influence on that show is because, you know, you're on the show. These girls are fighting. They're catty. They're getting on each other's nerves. And then you leave the show. And then the next episode, they're all like, oh, you're my sister.
I love you.
We're family now. Oh, it's us now. And we're so wonderful. It's like... Have you seen the difference?
There's a pheromonal, I guess there's a pheromonal thing going on. You know, I try to play peacemaker and everything on there. It doesn't work, but what are you going to do? Mm-hmm. I think, you know, generally speaking, the queens got along pretty well. Mm-hmm. There's a couple of little episodes of people, but I think everybody got along pretty well. And instantly when I got on set, I like everybody. I was surprised. I thought it would be people jumping on each other all day long and people hate me just because who knows? Who knows why for any particular reason? But that didn't happen. And a lot of the people I met, a lot of the queens, they are my lifelong friends now. And I have really good relationships with them. So I couldn't be more happy. I mean, for this to happen in this point in my life, it just blows me away. I mean, I thought, you know, this was like I'm going downhill at this point, you know, really fast in the train with no stop sign. But no, temporarily, I'm having a good episode here of like a sort of a rebirth of everything. And I couldn't be happier. This is wonderful with the way everything's turning out.
Well, don't you feel that the imperfections of Dragula, sort of like the imperfections in your performance art and in drag, is what makes the show so charming?
I think so. I think, first of all, this is a skeleton crew of people doing this thing. Small amount of people. Shockingly small amount of people to do the good product that they are doing. And I couldn't commend them more. Also, it's a family type organization going on. I knew the Boulets before I got on the show. And I perform at their club several times, so I knew them and, you know, I considered them friends. And the people who were doing the filming and whatnot and doing the producing, I knew some of them, and I met some of them. And they are a very tight-knit friendship group and family, really. They're the Dragula Boulet family. And they all worked really well together, and they worked really well with all the queens, too.
I heard there was a legend that there used to be one boule and then somebody cut off her head and two sprouted where there was one.
That seems totally, you know, sort of, what is that, like a hydra thing? I don't know what
this It's totally like a hydra thing. The smaller one came out of the head. The,
I wouldn't doubt it. That's why she's shorter. I wouldn't doubt it.
Do you read this stuff on the internet? People are like saying like which boule brother is hotter? And people, I'm just like, girl.
People on the internet, I don't know how much time, where did they get all this time to write all these things? The thing that has freaked me out the most and give me a lot of pleasure, though, is Reddit, where I don't really spend a lot of time on there, but I occasionally go and look, and people are sort of breaking everything down on the show into the minuscule amount of stuff. I mean, they really dive into the minutiae. There was one episode where I was a person from an alien being, and I was down on Earth trying to get ejaculates.
Yes, extracting the ejaculates.
For my warp drive. Mm-hmm. Yes. So 60 million tons of ejaculate from my warp drive. And then I go on Reddit. I don't really read that much, but I just skim. And then somebody figured out exactly how many loads that is.
Ooh.
And how many men it would take to make that many loads. So it's 12 trillion loads of ejaculate. And it's...
When do you need this by?
4,800. I know. And it's each man, it was like 2.5 million men who are available to do this. And they each have to give 4,800 of those loads. So they figured it out. It's like a math problem. They've got like calculus going on the page. And it just blew me away that they're so so into this minutiae. And I love it, by the way. I mean...
You saw that movie District 9, where he's collecting. Well, the premise is basically all these aliens crash land in South Africa and they form a ghetto, and the aliens are basically developing this fuel to get back home. But the fuel takes a long time to collect, just like the sperm for Disasterina's spaceship.
That sounds I must have channeled that somehow. There must have been out there in the, you know, in the public realm, and it came through my antennae, and I regurgitated it into ejaculate.
And you sort of identify as pansexual, polyfluidic, amorphic, transspecies?
Those are a lot of big words. I'm going to have to look it up and wiki it, because I don't know what you're talking about.
Just use your computer and your spaceship. It's fast. Just say yes.
Okay, yes. That sounds good. Where's the potty?
Yeah.
And what are you serving?
In my mouth. Are you coming?
Yeah.
Let me dive into that tongue, that long, lascivious tongue. I make it into like a shawl I wear around my neck.
Well, you're very inspired also by the creature of the Black Lagoon, or because I noticed you describe yourself as a creature from the Drag Lagoon.
Yes, you know, well, there is a, I love doing conventions. My favorite convention is called Monsterpalooza, and I like horror. And, you know, my name is Disasterina, so I want to try to do as many disastrous cosplays as I can. That's really where it comes from, is from my name. It's like, oh, I'm Disasterina, I got to do something disastrous here. So I created a character from called the Creature from the Drag Lagoon. It's sort of like this, you know, based on the movie, but it's more glamorous. And, you know, but I have like a net that has a bunch of garbage in it I wear on me. And everything I have is sort of like, you know, recycled in it and stuff. And I smell like fish, too.
Have you been following The Shape of Water, the remake of The Creature of the Black Lagoon?
We love Guillermo del Toro, but we have not seen that film yet. We're going to run out and see it real soon.
It hasn't come out yet.
Okay, that's right.
It has Octavia Spencer as a concerned Black woman.
Sounds realistic.
And she helps, I guess, the woman, the cleaning lady. She doesn't play the cleaning lady, or maybe she's like a... They're all kind of cleaning ladies to the science lab that has the creature of the Black Lagoon. And I guess in the movie, they're going to start dissecting him, but one of the women falls in love with the creature of the Black Lagoon and allows him to escape. It's kind of like Free Willy, only much more sexual.
That sounds fantastic. You know, my wife is a good friend with Doug Jones, and we are big appreciators of Doug Jones around in this family.
Not the senator from Alabama?
No, that's a different one, you Dumbo.
Well, we're big fans of Star Trek Discovery. We actually have another podcast called What the Trek, based on the new TV show. And so,
wow, yeah, you guys are geeky weekies over there.
Well, you know, we're Star Trek fans, that's for sure.
Girl, I know a lot about a lot of things, but I don't even know a lot about what I don't know.
It makes a lot of sense, I think.
Well, you're like me. You're multifaceted. You're a musician. You're a visual artist. You're a performance artist. You're a drag queen. You're a drag dad. You do a lot of things all the time and juggle a lot of different pastimes.
Well, I have been an artist all my life. So ever since I could hold a crayon in my hand, I've been drawing. And I have an extremely long career of failed projects that I can look back on. And I can never not be an artist. Everything I do, everything I think about, I try to turn into something, whether it be an idea or a physical object. I'm a painter. I do much mixed media sculpture. I do performance art. I do video. I've done everything. And I love it, and I can't stop it. And why would you want it? Because it's a fun life being an artist, even an obscure artist, because you get to dive into the things that are in your inspiration and bring everybody else a beautiful artwork or something to get inspired by. So I am very wonderfully fortunate to have the opportunity to be an artist.
Well, I saw one video that your husband, Triops Trifid, did about his art at the Hive, which was mostly images of people with their faces and their hands appearing in despair with prices around them, sort of like the consumer anxiety.
Yeah, I used to do a lot, my sometimes boyfriend used to do a lot of artwork based around different themes, and one of them was consumerism. And there's a project called Product People, and I made all these sculptures out of cardboard, laminated cardboard, and I'm so silly sometime, I forget because I'm such a ditz and an old lady. But what happened was there were actual photos from photographs. There were models set up and about photographs was taken, and then sculptures were made from those images. And those sculptures was standing in a pool of consumer catalogs, and they were in despair because of consumer culture. They were made out of the boxes that all the products come in. People grasp after these products. They think they're important, and no, they're not important because they're in despair. They're in a pool of consumerism, and they are wretched, and they are awful. And they are not even alive because all they think about is things is not so important. And that's the way that one went.
And so your t-shirts are available where exactly?
You know, I do all my own stuff and I'm getting tired of it. So I am trying to just make designs and have other people do silkscreen. But you can go to my store, which is coldslutsonfire.etsy.com, and I have all my products there. But I want people to buy my artwork. I have lots of art pieces up there. Don't buy the shirts, because I want to have them made by somebody else and have them make them myself, and it's pain in the butt. But buy my artwork.
I absolutely love everything you do. If I was a Bitcoin millionaire, I'd spend money on it.
Me too. I totally would. I would be an art collector. I'd have a museum full of artworks if I had a Bitcoin fortune.
Are you familiar with Allie Willis? She's kind of an eccentric woman who lives in L.A. She wrote a lot of the songs that from the 80s that were hit chart topping hits. And with that money, she basically invested it all in art. She has a museum dedicated to kitsch culture.
I got to write it down. How do you exactly spell her name?
I'll text it to you. It's Allie Willis, but she composed the theme song to Friends, the TV show. I'll be there for you. And the band that recorded it hated that they're famous for that one song.
Well, what are you going to do? You know, you can't lose them all.
And that's, you know, sort of the anxiety a lot of the drag queens have when they get on these reality TV shows, is that they're sort of, you know, known forever as the queen from their season on that show, you know?
That's true. Yeah, I mean, that's, and a lot of these queens, that's the only time you will ever see them on TV. I think I try to temper that a little bit because I really am a YouTube queen. That's the way I started. I started doing video sketch comedy, and I wanted to be a YouTube queen. I wanted to have a big YouTube presence. So when I got on the show, there were already a lot of videos of me doing other silly stuff. So people watch the show, they can instantly go over and watch my funny videos. So it sort of fills out what I do, what my personality is.
Yeah, I was seeing some of your videos, and you do a lot of those like conventions. You go to like
I love conventions.
Monster World.
Monster Palooza is one of them. Scare LA is another. I recently did DesignerCon. I do Comic Con in San Diego every year. I've done that for the last like 3-4 years. And what else do I do?
So do you just dress up and drag and go there, and you set up shop? You sell things?
Yes, I sell all sorts of things that I make. I make jewelry. I make my own merchandise that has Disasterina on it, like CDs and T-shirts and stuff like that. But I also do clothing. I'm a fashion designer. I make my own stuff like that, and I just try to sell it to people. And I love interacting with the public. That's really another reason for it, is just to go and to meet people and have fun with them.
To meet them, touch them, to smell them. I loved when you were walking around, I think it was Comic-Con, and you came across the Charlie Brown booth, and you started reading Charlie Brown because you were like, Charlie Brown needs to be dominated by women.
Well, Charlie Brown is dominated by women, but he's not happy because of it. And, I grew up with Peanuts. I had so many Peanuts books. And now he died. Okay, Charles Schulz, he died, R.I.P. But then this corporation take over, and they regurgitate everything he do. It has nothing to do with any of the humor anymore. It's all about the tchotchkes. It's all about making money on this, on Snoopy or whatever. And they're making millions and millions and millions of dollars, and then people stand in line for some kind of Peanuts tchotchke that doesn't have anything to do with Charles Schulz because he was dead like 30 years ago. So I just got a little upset about it, and I thought I'd tell everybody.
When you were a kid, were you always mad that Lucy pulled the football on Charlie Brown?
I loved that's a huge influence on me is Peanuts, because of that strange humor. It's supposedly a child's cartoon, but then it has all these heady sort of like adult themes, like Lucy is in the psychiatrist box talking to Charlie Brown, and he's always depressed and always down on himself. Really an unusual comic for a little kid, and I really sort of really loved it for some inexplicable reason, and I realize now is because the humor was really advanced, and it was really adult humor, and it was really dark comedy. It was like dark comedy for little kids, and that's why I love it.
But Lucy was a bitch. I mean, I was just like, at one point in time, I used to watch those, Charlie Brown Christmas specials, and It's a Great Pumpkin, Charlie Brown. At one point in time, I was just like, don't fall for it, Or like, and there's a parody videos of that where he kicks her in the head.
Yeah, these days you can get anything you want. You can get the world turned upside down because of, modern graphics. You don't have to, you can have the result that you always wanted.
And so one big theme that we've seen this past year is teenagers and preteens, sort of coming out into the world as drag queens. We've seen E the Magnificent or Dragnificent in Austin, Texas. And certainly in New York City, we saw a young drag queen.
Lactatia.
And other drag queens going to these expos and conferences, and they're very much obviously inspired by RuPaul's Drag Race, but some queens, teen queens or preteen queens, they're very much inspired by sort of this YouTube internet rise in Comic-Con and expo culture and just cosplay. Can you talk a little bit about that as a family person?
Yes, it's a strange phenomenon. It's, of course, the idea that LGBT persons are much more accepted in the modern era is fantastic. This is a very, very good development. But drag, on top of that, is something a little bit different because it really is kind of a sexual, has a sexual connotation to it. And things that become popular in popular culture sort of go to the people most active in the popular culture, who are the teens. The people who are driving everything in commerce, in culture, are the teens, you know, with music and movies and all this sort of stuff. And drag is huge in popular culture right now. And so teens are really into it. But then it raises questions because of the sexuality, you know, should these really young people basically be dressing themselves like prostitutes and walking around town? Probably not. Mm. But is there any harm to it? That is an interesting question to ponder. I think, you know, mainly there isn't any real harm to it, but maybe there is. I can see instances happening where people who are very young people who are fans of drag, who are dressing themselves up and then go out into the world and have interactions with people, you know, somebody drive by and try to pick you up because you look so sexy, you know, but you're 12 years old. So there's something here to think about.
Mm. Well, I mean, you know, it's like kids celebrate Halloween, and all the kids that, you know, that ever ask me why dressing up in drag, or they want to dress up in drag. And part of it is just, it's fun to pretend to be somebody else.
That's true. And that is fantasy. Is huge in this culture right now. Look everywhere and you see everybody dressing up, everybody trying to be somebody else and have fun and just escape. Maybe it's escapism, I suppose. I think a lot of people really feel like they don't have control of anything anymore, and they really don't have sort of like a way to affect what's happening. It's sort of like a roller coaster that you can't stop, you know, with the Trump administration and everything like that, and really bad politicians and this sort of thing, and the environment. And, you know, they look at it all and like, oh, you know, I think I'm going to withdraw and just have fun. And, you know, there's nothing wrong with that. And I don't know if that's the main reason for the interest in cosplay and the interest in fantasy. But there definitely is a relationship between how drag popularity has exploded and cosplay realm has exploded. It's extremely popular. Everybody's doing it. These conventions are sprouting up all over the place. And, you know, I've been doing this a long time, and I thought it was really popular several years ago, and it's much more popular even now. I think it's a good thing. And, but I do wonder where it's sprouting from. I don't know exactly where, but it might be because
this timeless need for people to discover who they are by pretending to be somebody else.
Yes. And I think it's more accepted and more safe to do it than any time before. And that really, people now see that, oh, you know, I've always wanted to, you know, dress up like a pirate. Not on Halloween, on every other day, but Halloween. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to do it because look, everybody else is doing it. So I think there is, yes, it's just that I guess that's why we're all drag queens, you know, it's to be another person. Mm-hmm. And to just explore, you know, another facet of yourself. That's really why I do it.
Well, nowadays, too, it's so easy to have access to that information on how to do it, where to do it, and when to do it. Before, like, if you were into, you know, a convention, you might have to get a magazine. You'd have to wait for that to be in the mail. And now you can see videos on YouTube, people at conventions doing interviews, and you see all this wonderful stuff. You're like, hey, if somebody else can do that, I can do that, too.
Yeah, I know. And there's tutorials about everything. Mm-hmm. All you have to do is put the search string into YouTube, and you will find a tutorial on whatever you want to do. It doesn't matter how obscure it is. Mm.
What have you discovered about yourself by being Disasterina?
Well, I discovered that, you know, it's just the thing about it is the mystery. The thing about it is, I think the reason why I have become so popular is because of the mystery. You know, everybody wonders about the accent, and just they wonder, you know, what kind of person I am and whether the story is real. And it's mystery. I was trying to figure out it yesterday, and I said, what is it that why do I do this? I think it's, and why is it popular? It's because it is a puzzle, and people try to figure the puzzle out, and they love puzzles. And I figure out that I can really bring a lot of joy to people by doing this. And that is really the main thing I figure out is like, you know, I love it, but other people love it even more somehow. And that's great. They're having fun, and I want them to have a lot of fun.
Well, I noticed that, like, in the heyday of, you know, Pee Wee Herman and Elvira, we didn't know what they looked like out of drag, right? Mm-hmm. And, you know, I remember the very first time RuPaul appeared out of drag in a publication, and it was shocking. Mm-hmm. You know, and in some ways, like, the internet kind of spoils that game because inevitably, anybody who wants them to be known for just the character they make is going to be revealed just by their existence in the internet.
Yeah, I was thinking about doing that, you know, when I got cast on the show, before I got cast, it was like, you know, should I cover my tracks and make sure nobody knows anything? And then, you know, the day after it happened, it's like, oh, it's too late. Everybody knows everything. But so at this point, though, I do try to keep my personas in check. I want to give people a fantasy. I want to give people a pure fantasy. So I go to great lengths to make sure of that.
Well, have you seen that documentary about the man who is the physical, the bodybuilder, David Prowse, who played Darth Vader?
No, I haven't seen it.
It's I believe it's available on Netflix. You can watch it.
Yeah, maybe.
It was Netflix for a while. Yeah. And part of it is like he really suffered and struggled because, you know, everybody knows James Earl Jones as the voice of Darth Vader. But this man, you know, embodied him for three films and very much, you know, dedicated his life to playing this character. And sort of no one sort of gave him credit for it. And he was kind of like eschewed and isolated from the whole Star Wars franchise because of it. Mm.
Well, I think that's the way the ball bounces. I mean, what are you going to do? It reminds me of Doug Jones, actually, because he has done so many great roles and he's in so many films, and often they overdub him, which is the stupidest thing to ever do because he has a great voice. But, you know, you see him walking down the street, not a lot of people are going to recognize him. Maybe a few here and there. But, you know, you look at all the movies he's done, all these creatures he's played, and he is a bigger movie star than most movie stars out there. It's just that nobody can identify him because he is so versatile and he has such a specialized gift, you know?
My favorite character he's ever played is Gay Robot.
But he didn't do the voice for that.
He didn't do the voice, but he was the person running the puppet that made the Gay Robot.
That's a great video.
Mm-hmm. I love it.
Mm. Yeah.
Disasterina, what's it like having your feet in ice cold water for half an hour?
You know, it really was excruciatingly painful. I'm not lying. When I was on that extermination, but I got to be honest with you, every second of it, I loved. I really had the inner smile when I was there. I knew I was going to get kicked out by those mean girls. But but I was like, this is fucking awesome. I can't believe I'm here. Mm. Well, how lucky I am. I was just thinking about all these things.
Now and they pulled you all out after like half an hour. But like, how long do you think you could have stayed in there? I mean, did you just stop feeling something after a while? Or was it just like
It goes through different stages, and this, you know, the first stage is extreme pain and cold, and then it goes numbness, and then you're like, oh, well, I'm just gonna stay here. I'm all numb. I'm gonna stay here for hours and hours and hours, and then they put more ice, and then it's like more painful, and you go through the whole cycle again. But I have a bad energy day, which is not a good idea for reality TV. So. But I was planning to be taken away in an ambulance. I was not going to take my feet out of there for any reason ever. And they first, once the, you know, the filming was over, they said, okay, or we thought it was over. They said, oh, you know, okay, everybody can get out. And then Abora gets out, which you saw on the film. And James and I, we look at each other and we think, no, bitch, they got something up their sleeve. We are not getting out of here. So we stayed, and then we stayed, I don't know, maybe for another 5 minutes, and then another couple of times they're saying, okay, get out, everybody get out now, get out. And we finally acquiesced, but we're like,
And what was that first step like when you touched real ground, you know?
Well, you know, James and I, you don't see it because our hands are behind the bora, but we held hands and we decided on the count of three we're going to get out because they're going to use that film for something. What if somebody gets out first and then people get the wrong impression? So we join hands and we count to three. One, two, three, and we step out. And I think by that time, both of us were completely numb and fatigued. But, you know, I was really proud of staying in there because the worst thing I hate, ask anybody, I cannot stand cold. It's the most awful thing. If I'm in a room and somebody puts room temperature water on me, I scream. I can't stand anything cold. I hate it.
Oh, did they know this about you?
They didn't. I should have emphasized it, and then they probably would have put, you know, more ice in my bin. Yeah.
What were the eliminations? They shot you girls with paintball guns. They stabbed you with needles. They fed you things that made you want to vomit. And poor Erica Clash, I guess she felt compelled to eat her own vomit.
Well, that's what you do on Dragula. That's what you do.
What was the challenge you said? I'm really, and then you could have gotten a tattoo. I was telling the girls, get RuPaul's Drag Race tattoo, or the Dragula in the shape of the letters of RuPaul's Drag Race.
I mean, when they said on the show, it's like, you know, get the, you know, really bad taste tattoo. I'm thinking, oh, okay, all different things you can get. You know, Dragula tattoo. I'd love to have that. I wish I would have been on the bottom for that. That one, I have a nice little Dragula tattoo, but because I love tattoos and I love getting them. But
that really just you were like thankful you didn't have to go through?
Well, there is
the lie detector test. They would ask you where you're from.
That's what I'm glad. Yes, that was the main one. Also, I don't do good with food or things that resemble food, so I would have not done very well on that one. Luckily, I have metabolism. I can eat just about anything, and I can still be kind of skinny.
Well, we want to invite you to Cooking with Drag Queens and feed you things that will not challenge you, but
good.
Delight you and pleasure you in the gastronomic sense.
Well, who do I got to kill?
if you're here in Chicago in the next year, come into our kitchen and we'll film you.
You know, I have family out there, so I wanted to go in the new year. I wanted to go there.
Well,
so,
your cousin, your husband, Trifid, Asphalt,
Triops. I love Trifid. How this is getting all twisted. Aphid. I love it how it's all twisted now.
What's your husband's nickname? Aphid?
Oh, Treetops Aphid.
Treetops Aphid. I guess he's from Schaumburg.
No, that is a suburb.
From Joliet?
There's a little shitty town that's in the northwest suburbs, and it's called Fox River Grove.
Oh, I know Fox River Grove, yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of a place you drive through, and you don't stay there because nothing's happening. And all the businesses are boarded up because it's a shitty little town. That's the kind of place it is.
When do you have any plans on coming to Chicago in the next year?
Yes, in the new year at some point, maybe March or April.
We'd love to have you on Cooking with Drag Queens. Start thinking about it's basically like a restaurant, you know? You basically like come up with some crazy shit and then we'll make it for you and show you how to make it.
Oh, that sounds fun.
Yeah.
That sounds awesome.
It's insanely fun. And well, you know, if you don't do it right, then you have to stir fry for your life. But it's not cannibalism. We'll eat you out.
Disaster. Ooh. I have to say, I absolutely loved your extermination. The tribute to Psycho was really fantastic. How did you guys, how did that come about?
Filming it,
yeah.
Well, they decide who they assign death scenes to people. And this isn't revealing too much, but they do the death scenes first, obviously, because
so you don't know when it's going to be used,
right?
Oh, that's why you guys all look so happy.
Exactly. So
that was the first secret.
That was the first thing I shot, and I loved it.
Do you guys get to decide how you're going to be eliminated, or is they kind of like develop that for you?
They do it all. They assign us a death. And I lucked out with one of the best deaths ever. You know, when I was doing it, I was thinking, oh, this is great. I love this so much. But, oh, you know what? Nobody's ever going to see it. It's because I'm going to win the show. But that's the way it goes. Mm. You know, this footage is going to sit on the cutting room floor and never to be seen. But luckily, people saw it.
Those tits are something. The cardboard with the blue veins and the cones.
Well, you know, I'm got big inspired by Nina Bonina Brown because she make her costumes out of piece of paper. Mm-hmm. And I saw her on Drag Race, and I saw like a little tutorial she did on YouTube about like making stuff out of paper. And I'm like, what? I'm going to do that. I didn't do what she did. She made like a headpiece on mm-hmm. it. But I'm like, I'm going to do something with paper. And I decided, oh, well, I'll make myself some boobs and I'll just like glue them on my chest. And they turned out really good. I'm really happy with those.
What are you gluing? What kind of glue are you using to glue them onto your chest?
It's called Prosaid. And a lot of the effects people, they use it. And it works pretty good. Mm.
Because I got to say that, you know, it held up, the cardboard and the glue held up in the shower scene with water running down your side.
And for the people that haven't seen this extermination, it's basically, you know, you guys are paying an homage to Psycho, the shower scene. And you're Janet Leigh, a very fucked up looking Janet Leigh who gets it in the shower.
Yes. Yeah. I love it. I love it so much. It was such a fun scene. And I like getting naked in front of those gay boys.
Because you're polyfluidic, interdimensional, trans species.
I'm just a freak.
Multi-generational.
Person who wears high heels in the shower.
Yes, you know.
What kind of, was that like a conscientious choice? Where you're like, I'm just going to wear heels in the shower.
You know, I didn't know how they were going to film it, mm-hmm. so I didn't actually bring any heels. And luckily, somebody there at the set had some heels that were my size. Mm. So I can't take credit for that. One of the filmer persons had some heels for me.
There's a third season of Dragula now in development. What kind of advice do you have to the new generation of queens to make it far? What should they bring? Pack in their suitcase. In order to survive the longest.
Whiskey.
Yeah.
I'm not joking.
I thought it was a Midori liqueur that you were into.
I used to love Midori sours, but then it gave me such bad headache. But, you know, I don't drink that much. But there were people on the set who bring a little libation to sort of calm themselves down. And I'm like, oh, interesting. I had not thought of that. But I'm like, oh. They were having a shot here and there, and I'm like, oh, well, I'll have a shot. And I'm probably not a good advertisement to drink, but it did sort of, it gave me a good boost, and it made me a little more comfy, and it's kind of very nerve-wracking on set. Mm. You know, I loved being on set. I loved every second, but also it's very nerve-wracking because you're waiting around, because this is a TV show, all right? You have to wait long hours for them to set up the shot. And you're sitting there and you have to keep your energy going somehow. And you're talking to people. And then you're like, oh, boy, when is this thing going to happen? And then your energy is on the wane and you need something to do to get it going. You can practice your routine only so many times. So so bring the whiskey, have a shot or two. It'll do you good.
Well, I really want to thank you so much for giving us so much insight into your personal life, because I know that you are very much a undisclosed location queen.
You know, I want to keep it fun for people, so I don't give them everything. Yeah. I want to give them a nice puzzle to find out about, and I want them to research, and I want to have a good time, have them have a good time doing it. That's why I do all these ridiculous things.
I think we got to crack your nut a little bit, though.
Disasterina, it's been a real pleasure. Thank you so much for coming on the podcast.
Well, this has been such a blast. You guys are so fun. I guess your show is aptly named, and I couldn't thank you more for getting in touch. And I'm going to see you in Chicago and cook up some kind of crazy sandwich.
Awesome.
Disaster Arena, do you want us to play anything from your new album at the end of the show?
Yes, well, the people seem to like one called Treat Me Like Trash.
Treat Me Like Trash.
Yeah, I have sent that to you. And awesome. Yeah, I'm so happy that you had me on the show, and it was tons of fun.
I absolutely adore you, and I just feel like a real kinship to you. And it's like, it's so refreshing to see somebody with your aesthetic and your passion and your sensibility and your wisdom being celebrated in a platform like this. So congratulations.
You make me emotional. You make me emotional. I'm tearing up over here. Aww. I feel so good because I love you so much.
Mm-hmm. Have a glass of gloob schlapper.
Have another tasty gloob schlapper. Mm-hmm.
May the fierce be with you always.
Okay, bitch. I love you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Disasterina lives in an undisclosed location in the city of Los Angeles. You can check her out. Disasterina, where do we send people to?
You know, just go to my YouTube, because that is the thing I want to promote the most. That's the thing that I want people to look at. So it's youtube.com/disasterina. Mm.
Disasterina, people, honey, learn it, love it, know it, own it, invest it. In art, and buy it on Etsy, honey.
Check out her Etsy shop. I was checking that out. Lots of fun stuff on there.
Yeah.
Good.
Remember, folks, Feast of Fun is made possible because of financial support of people like you. Go to feastoffun.com/donate and put some coins in our stocking. Honey, we put a candy cane, put a stuffed goose, even some coal. We don't care what you stick in our stocking as long as it's hard and hot.
Again, you can do that at feastoffun.com/donate. But the best way to support the show is to become a Plus member, and you can become a Plus member at feastoffun.com/plus, because your contribution to the show is what makes it happen. We wouldn't be able to talk to fabulous drag queens like Disasterella if it weren't
Disasterina.
Disaster.
It's like a ballerina and a disaster. Mm-hmm.
All mixed up in one.
Yes. It's quite easy to remember. Disasterina. Mm-hmm. Learn it by name.
We hope you guys all have a great holiday season. We have one more show coming your way, or two more shows coming your way. One of them is our incredibly strange Christmas music volume 9.
Nine, folks.
Nine about is coming.
These, basically, I'm putting a collection of songs that drag queens might want to lip sync for the holiday season, and also some really raunchy songs by the Beatles. Ooh. Of all things. Yes, like Paul McCartney and Ringo and John Lennon released a bunch of Christmas music, holiday music, that very few people got to hear. And thanks to the power of the internet, a lot of those songs are now in 2017 bubbling up to the surface. And so I'm collecting a lot of those. There were songs that were sort of improvised and sent out to their fans over the holiday season. And I guess Paul McCartney was really into the project, but John Lennon absolutely hated it. And so over the course of the Beatles' careers, every year they would they were less and less involved until it was just Paul McCartney by himself.
Oh, poor Paul.
Which is kind of a metaphor for the Beatles in real life too. Like, you know, they just,
is it just him that's left now?
Ringo Starr. Yeah. And the part of it was like, you know, Paul McCartney was very much the driving force of the Beatles, as also John Lennon, and they, you know, had a division in aesthetics and viewpoints and all this stuff. And that's manifested in their Christmas music that they improvised year after year. Mm. We also have some Christmas music by the Three Stooges.
What?
Yeah. And a lot of really great gems that we dug up through the years and re-examining them. Stuff by Mae West, Ella Fitzgerald, Pearl Bailey, really good stuff. It's coming your way next week. It's wraps up our year. And we won't be back until after Glitter Day. Mm-hmm. What's Glitter Day?
Glitter Day is the second Saturday of January. And it's just a little holiday for us LGBT queer folks to get out there and have some fun away from, like, the people, like your family.
For anybody who's transdimensional, inter-species, polyfluidic, multifaceted, shape-shifting, you know, creatures from the Black Lagoon, from the planet Dimension X, this is your holiday for you, because you can do anything you want to with it. Mm. You can light a candle, right? On the first day, it's a red candle, right?
Yes.
And you do what with it? You suck a dick. And on the second day, you light an orange candle.
You eat an ass?
You step your pussy up.
No.
And then the third day, you get...
A job?
A job. And then you own... The fourth day, you own a business.
Mm-hmm. And then the fifth day, you realize that 520s make 100.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
And pretty much you can do whatever you want to on Glitter Day because it's your holiday and you can do whatever you want. There's no traditions except the ones you make.
That's right.
And we want to thank you so much. Mark, you are fascinated by something on the internet. I'm trying to grab your
attention. I'm watching a cat give another cat a massage.
That's what's your interest. Okay, we're ending this. Bye, everybody.
Goodbye.
I can see you looking at me. Your eyes are like a telescope. In the disco club tonight. I feel so sexy, boom, boom. You want to put it in my humor, don't you? I might let you. If you treat me like trash. If you treat me like trash. Won't you treat me like the trash I am? Like trash. Dirty, dirty boy's room. Your beard so scratchy. Gonna give me a rashie. I'm chasing the dragon in my fag wagon. Beep, beep. Beep, beep. Boy, so high in heaven. Gonna snort his ashes so I can meet him.